The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hello, good evening. How's it going? I think we're a bit late. We had a couple of technical problems. We've got this show firmly on the road now. 9:09 is the time. Cut 2 minutes into the show there. I'll let you know, I had a little bit of a hissy fit. I can be a bit of a diva at times. One of the headphones didn't work and it sounded weird. So I'm now, I adjusted the headphones. I mean, it's the back room stuff that you don't need to know about. But, you know, these little things come together to make what, as you know, is a perfect radio show. My name is Vinny White, and I'll be with you for the next hour, minus 2 minutes, talking about all kinds of things. I won't bother telling you what's coming up, because I never get it right. I've now got a new policy. Not even going to bother. Probably some stuff that's reasonably humorous in places, at best. Set expectations low, achieve more. Fact. But there will be some stuff. I can guarantee you it won't be an hour of silence. That is a given. You can get involved in the show, 416-872-1010, and you can text the show. Yes, 71010. It's really clever. Maybe you can move the camera a little more to the left to see more of Vinny, says the first text. A little bit to the left. So if I walk to the right, then that's the same thing. I'll just do that. I mean, let's be honest. It's far from spectacular, even if you do get the whole of me in the lens. It's a bus ride from Brad Pitt, and a really bumpy and crappy ride it is too. Not in that sense. Oh, that sounds naughty. Anyway, we'll move on. Here I am in all my glory in the webcam. You can also at any point look at the webcam for any one of the shows. This one I hear because I stand and pay sits that often you get a view of my crotch. Which means if I get nervous, you'll see the wet patch. Okay, how are you? Are you okay? Is everything all right? Because I've been out of town for a few days. I feel lost. I don't know what was going on here. I didn't even listen to the mayor's show today. Anything could have happened. So do fill me in if I've missed anything important. I feel terribly out of the loop. And that's not a professional or reasonable thing to do for someone that works for Canada's biggest and best talk station. Personal opinion, but fact too. But it's nice to be back. I drove today from Ottawa, the capital of this fine nation, and also my former home, where I've been for the last few days, as well as talking reasonable amounts of rubbish on the radio. I also train people how to use software during the week, how I really make the big bucks to have the fast lane lifestyle that I do, you know, champagne, jets, and other plastic toys. And, so I was out in Ottawa for the last few days teaching someone how to use Photoshop. And normally when I go to teach software, I go to, you know, government agencies. Because I've got a proper company. I'm like a proper person and everything. It's incorporated. No two-bit guy here, you know. But not this time. No, I went to teach a slightly older lady. I'd say she's probably in her, I would suggest, late 60s, but looking very good and incredibly intelligent and astute and wise. It was a charm, but it was a bit weird because I was teaching her in her house in the suburbs in Kanata. And if you haven't been to Kanata, it's a bit like, it's a bit like the suburbs. Doesn't matter where you are in Canada. They all look the same. You know, Boston Pizza, Tim Horton, some fat people, that kind of thing. And, when I said Tim Horton, I think I didn't pluralise it. like the resurrected hockey player was come back to the suburbs. I did mean Tim Hortons. Or if it's multiple Tim Hortons, Tim Hortonses. As you can tell, I'm English and use the language perfectly. Anyway, it was nice. Had a good time. Got a bit bored in Ottawa because that's what happens there. Sorry, I know a lot of people listen to me in Ottawa and they always get upset with me about that. But it's true. It's not as exciting as this city, and I'm glad I live here. Sorry, it's the way it is. I did decide to have a little break, and I went to Montreal for the night on Friday? I don't know. It's all moulded into one weird and wobbly mess now. But I think it was Friday night I went into Montreal. Went out on the West Island, Montreal. Gotta be honest, not the best part of Montreal, is it? Have you been, Elliot?
Yes, I was in Montreal last a few years ago.
Yeah, it's not... If you go to Montreal, one of the best cities to go out in the world for nightlife. Yeah, I would keep going. When you get to the West Island, keep going. But one thing I've noticed now, this could be me sounding terribly old here, but when did every nightclub start playing dubstep? When did that happen? You know, I was out in Montreal, and, when I was growing up, when I was a wee lad, knee high to a grasshopper, finding my way through life. And I went to a club. There was a variety of beats. Okay, and I'm not going back to the disco years here, but even if it was techno-orientated, you might throw on a bit of drum and bass. You might cruise through the house area. You might end up with some UK speed garage. And then you might end up doing some party classics like Bryan Adams' Summer of 69. Now, I found myself in this club on the West Island, and I don't know if it was dubstep night, but everything was dubstep. And if you don't know, by the way, if dubstep hasn't creeped into your ears yet, This is how it sounds. I'll just have a quick swig of water. Hang on. Ding 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 wop ding 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 ding. I've got an ice cream cone. Bop wop 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 wop. Ding 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 ding.
I know the song.
Ding ding. It's my ice cream cone. Bob, wap wap wap. Bob, ding ding ding. Bob, lap lap lap. Wap 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 wap. It sounds, I would imagine, much like if many robots were to be violently sick. It's quite good if you're cold, because A, it warms you up. And if at any point you accidentally, embarrassingly, in front of a young lady on the dance floor, were to let your coldness be known to the crowd, you can, and it just blends right in with the record. Yeah. Now, it made me think, perhaps there is a room in this world, since dubstep has become mainstream. I mean, it worked its way into Britney Spears' song of late and has become quite involved in many pop tunes of the young children of today, boogieing on the floors. I don't sound old, do I? Anyone that says disco or boogie sounds instantly old. Do you, you young people, do you boogie at the disco? So it made me think, maybe it's time we could take dubstep and cross it with other genres. If it's already crossed with pop music, why don't we cross it with a musical?
Each other kisses, holding hands and walking side by side. But every time I try to charm a lady, she runs away. What am I doing wrong? Is it the dubstep in my song when I go? Excuse me, miss, but do you like the dubstep? Or will I ever find someone? Or will I die alone?
Endless dreams of love letters and roses, serenades from men with big guitars, famous men. Will I meet a man who also
also likes a dub-the-dub, the step we both like, dubstep.
Please,
oh, yeah.
do you want to...
Sorry.
Flowers.
Dubstep,
please.
The musical,
please.
Is coming.
Sorry.
Please just take these flowers!
I'm actually tired. That was Dubstep the Musical, coming soon to the Broadway districts of New York and perhaps some of the theatre district here in in Toronto. So, interesting feedback on the text. I knew this would happen. Dubstep is as polarising as Margaret Thatcher. You wouldn't believe it. Three people. Funniest thing I've heard today. Lol, lol, lol. More lols. A lolo, which I think is like a really big lol. What's a lolo? They laugh out loud out. and then someone says, turn this crap off. Yeah, I mean, I understand. Yeah. Just throwing it out there. You're listening to Vinnie White on News Talk 1010, apparently. And got a problem. I'm going to do this with you now. I want your help. Now, I realise what I'm about to say is somewhat controversial, but go with me. I've got a problem with homeless people. Go with me. Don't just record that and then send it to my boss. saying Vinnie really has changed. My problem with homeless people is this, ladies and gentlemen. Before I went to Ottawa for a few days, I was wandering around town on, I think it was Tuesday, here in the fine, beautiful and sunny city of Toronto. I was having a great time. And I went to my favourite pizza emporium establishment where they do a deal on a large pepperoni. Great. I'm at the door. I'm going in. I'm thinking, I'm going to pop in there, get that large pepperoni. Going to take that home. Might have a cheeky little can of Guinness with that. Watch a bit of TV. It's a night of luxury. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. I mean, it could involve some bizarre oral sex if that's what you're into. But I'm quite happy with pizza and a Guinness. Simple man, simple needs. Why confuse things with other people? So, because you need that for oral sex, I would imagine. Unless you have, maybe if you removed a couple of ribs. I don't know how it works. I haven't tried it since I was 9, and that put me in hospital anyway. Right, back to the story. So what I'm saying is, I was going to go in there and buy myself a pizza, right? So I'm at the door, and a guy comes up to me. And by the way, as much as this show is full of hyperbole, I promise you that this is true. I'm at the door of the pizza establishment. A homeless man comes up to me, looking a bit scruffy. He's allowed. He's homeless. And said to me, can you get me a slice of pizza? And I said, I was thinking, in the back of mine, I was thinking, it's bizarre that he didn't say please. But, you know what? He doesn't have to. And he's had a hard day. So I said to him, yeah, I'll get you a slice of pizza. Actually, I'm going to get the large pepperoni. And obviously when I get that, I'll pop out, be 5 minutes, and I'll give you a slice. He said this, not making it up, ready? Yeah, I haven't really got time for that. Can you just buy me one of the slices on the counter? Actually true. Now, I don't know what you do in that situation, but I said, no, I will not do that. Here's the score, Barry Big Bananas. You're going to wait here for 5 minutes, or... do as you wish, I don't know, go and make some more money, double bubble. In the meantime, asking other people for various things. And then I'll come out with my pizza slice for you, the one that I was going to get anyway. And he said, okay, I might not be here. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, I came out with a pizza, wasn't there. Yeah, blew my mind. So beggars officially can be choosers, fact. Here in Toronto, at least. Now, before I get furious, what's the collective term for phone calls? I don't know, gaggle of phone calls. Can I just add, by the way, I've got nothing. I think I'd be pretty unfair if I was to say I have something against homeless people. And actually, I do give a reasonable amount of money. But that's my question for you now, because I don't know who to trust anymore. And it's not the first time. I've seen beggars on mobile phones as well, which I appreciate are cheaper than ever. But can you beg with a mobile phone? Is it wrong? So here's my question to you. 416-872-1010 on the telephone. What shall I do? Shall I do this? Shall I stop giving money to beggars because of this? And also, I want to hear if you've got any homeless people stories that are funny. Now, I appreciate this is a delicate topic, and please don't think for a moment that I think that being so unfortunate, and I have been in difficult places in my life, I do not think that it's funny to be homeless. I'm just thinking, sometimes you do see a lighter side of it. My favourite beggar of all time, I must admit I wasn't there for this, but my friend told me about it. I was living in England at the time, where I'm from, unless you think I'm from Australia. Which, just, you know what, I'm fed up fighting. Just think it. Can't be bothered. Yeah, sure. I grew up with kangaroos. Deal with it. Anyway, I'm from the UK. I grew up in Brighton, which is a seaside town on the south coast. And I was wandering around. I bumped into my friend and he said, oh, you've got to come and see this beggar. He's fantastic. And he had this shtick, which I loved. Unfortunately, I couldn't find him. I tried to look for him. He would go up to people and say, hi, have you got a pound? Which is about $1.40. So, hi, have you got a pound? And I just need to buy some chips for my fish. And then he'd open his jacket and he had a full dead flounder and the inside of his jacket. He says, I've got the fish. I just need a portion of chips. A pound will do. Now, that's genius, that. So I'll have that. I would definitely give him a pound. And you do see some beggars sometimes who are extremely creative. And we'll run through some of those later, because I put up on Facebook earlier, please give me your most creative beggar story. So I've got a few that I'm going to take off Facebook. But in the meantime, we'll go to the phones. 416-872-1010 on the phone. And you can text the show at any point on 71010. It's live. We're here. We're doing it. Hello, James.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great, mate. Yourself?
I love that. Good, thank you. And I love that pizza story.
Isn't it unbelievable?
It's indignant. It's unbelievable, but, you know, I have a good story for you. First of all, in answer to your original question, I think you can give these guys money, but it's in the rare instances, and I think that depends on the person. One of the rare instances for me is if the guy looks kind of older and kind of rough, for whatever reason, like maybe they're just ringing themselves through with booze or whatever, and they ask me for money or food, something like that. In that rare instance, when I really feel like, you know, you feel real empathy for the person, just on a human level, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But if they're just one of these punters, like what you were describing, then I would say don't bother giving them money, just because it's just stupid. I mean, it's just they don't appreciate it. It's just a waste, and they should just get a life somehow. That's just what I feel.
Yeah, I understand. But I suppose the problem here is, though, James, that making that distinction's a bit tricky sometimes, isn't it?
It can be, but if it's most of the time, no way, buddy. But the odd time, like I said, you see they're a little older, they're a little rough, and you just feel like, you know, like they're probably going to spend this on crack or whatever, but okay, or I'm being taken or played or whatever. But you get these people like what you describe, and it just, they're just basically people that they're street people. They're not homeless people. To me, a homeless person is your house just burnt down and you and your wife and your kid are living in your pickup. You are homeless. These people used to be called street people, and they were called, you know, beggars, this type of people, squeegee kids, and now it's, you know, everybody's so PC and all this, and you can't, you know, be really telling it how you really feel, because then you're like some sort of a racist against homeless people, and I call them, they're so-called homeless people.
Okay. All right, we're going to leave it there, James. Thanks a lot.
Take care, thanks.
Take care, mate.
Okay. We'll move on to... I like James. I think I like him. I don't know. Lorraine. I probably wouldn't like him if I was homeless. Lorraine, hello.
Hello. How are you, Vinny?
I'm full of beans.
Okay, I have to tell you this story. I was standing waiting for the bus, and this young guy comes up, and he says, could I have some money? I said, okay. So I go to give him a loony or a toonie. He goes, no, that's not enough.
Okay.
And I says, what do you mean? He says, well, do you have $5? I says, no, I don't have $5. And he says, well, okay, I don't need your $2.
Oh, my God, he didn't say that.
He did.
Oh, no, that's really embarrassing, because two's quite a lot.
And I says, well, I says, if you really need something, I will take you to the pizza place to buy you a pizza.
Yeah.
And he says, no.
No.
Yeah. And
well, I'm surprised
really
they didn't
hilarious.
Say, well, I should hope I'm, I hope that it's, understands my dietary needs. I'm very lactose intolerant.
You know, like, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, like.
Yeah.
But they, some of them have so much nerve in asking, you know.
Cheek, paper money only
from
that
guy. Oh, it's a cheeky little bugger.
Thanks, Lorraine. Joe in Mississauga, 416-872-1010. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Vinny?
Yeah, good.
Great topic. I got a good story for you. I was doing a job in Toronto, and on Jameson, the overpass, there was a I guess, homeless, for lack of better words, person.
I live near there. It may have been me.
No, it wasn't you, Vinny. Believe me, you don't have face tattoos, right?
No. Yeah, that's one of my distinctions. No facial tattoos. True.
But this guy was like, you know, panhandling. So I rolled my window down and he ran over and I asked him, I said, do you want to make $100? And he looked down at my crotch and then looked up at me and then looked down at my crotch again. And he goes, what do I have to do? And I said, get in my van. And he's like, yeah. And I said, you're going to come work with me all day. You just got to pick up garbage off the ground.
Okay.
So he told me in not so polite terms to where to go. And I mean, that was a pretty depressing time in my life when, like, for $100, he would have jumped in to do that,
yeah.
But to come work for the day, you know, but
unbelievable.
Great topic, anyway.
So you offer the guy a job, things get awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Nasty.
It was really awkward, actually.
Oh, thanks a lot, Joe.
Have a good night, buddy.
Cheers, mate. See, this is the problem Joe brings up. Mo in Milton. Hi.
Hey, Vinny, how are you?
Yeah, cool.
Well, Toronto, beggars are very special. This lad was back in 2008. He was at the winter by about like October, November time. Clean shaved on banana and frost. He goes, bro, I need something to eat. He said, I have these two granola bars. He goes, well, I'll take the one with the chocolate coat on it. He didn't want to take the other one because I guess it was too rough for him.
And he was clean shaven. See, I don't know, because there is an argument here. Well, actually, you can't not give to a homeless man because he doesn't have a beard. Perhaps he's clean shaven because he's looking for work.
Apparently, he can't come to work.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mo.
Organized.
All right, take care. I don't know what Mo said at the end there. I have no idea. It could have been, like, astonishingly evil. It could have been, like, at the end of the day, I think we should burn all homeless people. And I just went, okay, thanks a lot. Hopefully, he didn't say that. I couldn't hear him. He was in his car. Yeah, so this was because, if you just tuned in, by the way, homeless man comes up to me earlier last week outside a pizza place, says, can I have a slice of pizza? I said, yeah, sure. I'm just about to go in and order the large pepperoni. I'll be back out in 5 minutes. You can have a slice of that. He said, quote, actually, I haven't really got time. Can you get me one of those? Pointing to the counter. Big fat no. That was the answer. You do get some good signs. I've got some emails in from people and some Facebook messages. The best signs I've ever seen from homeless people. Her lawyer was better than mine, says Ed. Mike writes in, I once saw a man with a sign that says, I bet you can't hit me with a quarter. A little bit demeaning, to be honest, but he did write it himself. Sue said, I once saw a man dressed as Darth Vader. He had a sign that said, help me, I'm disabled and I need dollars to build a new Death Star. You know, it's the imagination we like. I saw someone else, this one from Steve. Wife has been kidnapped, I'm short 98 cents for ransom. Not bad. I saw one, we'll take verbal abuse for $1.99. Yep, creative, like it. I saw one actually, I think it was in Ottawa, and there was a guy, scruffy as you like, and he had a sign, need petrol for my Porsche. Well, it would have been gas. Anyway, keep them coming, 416-872-1010. We're going to take a break soon, but not just yet, because I have a little soft spot for Heather, and here she is. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Vinny. How come you have a soft spot for me?
Anyone that has a name that is also a flower just makes me a little bit horny.
Yeah. You know what my last name is?
Go on.
Thistle.
Oh, how peculiar. You're a double whammy.
I know, kidding. A thistle, the weed, the thorn, eh?
Yeah, what's your middle name?
Ann Teresa.
Okay, so I'm presuming that you married Mr. Thistle because your parents...
No.
You've always been Heather Thistle.
Yes, yes. I actually am a widow. His name was McKenna, and I gave his name to my son, and he was from Scotland.
Odd.
My parents are from Nova Scotia, New Glasgow.
Yeah. You remind me of my friend Rose Petalgrass.
Pardon?
Nothing. All right.
No, what did you say?
Mate, I can never repeat a gag. The moment's gone. It's out there in the void. You'll have to hear it on the podcast. It's the only way.
Oh, God, I don't know how to do that.
It was definitely the funniest part of the show, and it's gone. It's in the void.
Thanks a lot, Vinny. Thanks for making my night.
Tell me your homeless people story, please.
Well, because I live in Hamilton, it's a lot different than Toronto, right?
Yeah.
When I go downtown or Gore Park and whatnot, they come up to me and they usually ask me for tickets, bus tickets, a toonie or loonie, right?
Yeah.
Because I have worked with homeless people, even though, yes, there are shelters in the city, there's the Salvation Army, there's Men's Toxic to get clean, get sober, and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they live on the streets, they live in the parks, they live on the benches, and they drink. And it doesn't matter what age. I mean, you could be a drunk at 19, you could be a drunk at 60.
Yeah.
And you could be a lawyer and turned it. You can lose your mind and take all your medications and your pills. I know very, very well-educated people have become homeless in my city. They have a nervous breakdown. They have mental issues galore.
Mm.
And that is why, I'm not going to say all that some of them are using the system. I'm going to say
some.
80%. Mm. They're so
really?
Mentally.
What, 80%, in your opinion, are abusing the system or using the system?
No. 80% are really, really, they really need help.
Yeah, I understand.
There's no hospital for them to go here.
I was just about to say that. There is an enormous and, frankly, scary lack of funding for mental health programs in a country that sadly has a terrible record for high rates of depression.
That's it. And way back in the 50s when they were, had a nervous breakdown, they would do lobotomies on these people's minds. They put them in straitjackets. They gave them electric shock treatments.
Mm, all of the practices that are now ruled out. But now it seems to be where those practices have quite rightly been ruled out. It's like, well, what are you doing now? Just letting them self-medicate
just
in a park?
On the exactly. Just go on the streets.
Yeah.
Go on the streets. My God.
I've got to go, sweetheart, because I'm getting a little bit...
You don't
want to see Elliot, the producer, when he gets violent. He can beat the living pants off someone.
I love you.
Take care, Treacle. I like her too. No, I think I love her. I think I do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Here's a quick one before we go. I bought a ham and cheese sandwich for a homeless man who, this is from Pat, by the way, who was making himself, holding open the doors to 7-Eleven. When he looked at it, he said, "I don't eat ham." I replied, "Just take the cheese sandwich then. Just take the ham out." Yeah, fair point. Although, in fairness, I don't think you can describe the stuff that 7-Eleven serve up as food. Have you seen those things that rotate? I think they put them in 1922. I don't know if they're supposed to be sausages, but they certainly aren't now. They look like some sort of genital wart. And I do not know that from experience. Back in a minute.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
71010 is the text. If you want to text me, 416-872-1010 is the phone number. And yeah, it's a live show. And yeah, I am in Toronto. I even let people in with accents. I should do a hello. Don't normally do hellos, but I've had a few come in tonight. Hey, Vinny, I heard you covering for Jim Richards. Now we're hooked on your show. Me and the wife. We're 25. Please say what's up. Not sure why the age is relevant, but what's up? I don't think I'd ever say what's up to anyone because I despise rhetorical questions as a greeting. So I won't do that, but I will say, hey, thanks for listening. To Michelle and whoever you are. And if I could hold you close and just tell you everything was going to be all right when you're upset, I would. That's a warm-hearted guy that I am. Now then, we're talking about homeless people, and it's a tricky subject because whilst I realise it's very serious, there are sometimes signs that just make you pee yourself. And I've asked people on Facebook to text in their most ridiculous beggar moment. Cheryl saw a hobo with help fight hobophobia. Love what he did there. Yeah, so you're more inclined to give money to a good pun. I saw a guy with a sign that said, need cash for alcohol research. Good, good, like what you did. I'll bet you $1 you'll read this sign. It's quite a good one. The best one Mark has ever seen, I would definitely give a guy money for this, was a bloke dressed as a robot. And he just had a sign that said 01100110001. It's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. I don't speak binary, but I think I get the gist. There was another one. Luke says, serial killer. Serial spelt C-E-R-E-A-L. Serial killer. Spare change for milk needed. I'd take money from him. I would take money from that man. Yeah. It's not funny. It's a bad pun. Pretty good. Kath says, family. She saw a sign from a guy in the States. Family kidnapped by ninjas. Need dollars for karate lessons. Nice touch. Nice. The creatives. Morgan said he saw a guy in New York City had a sign that said, let's do lunch. You buy. It's nice. It's nice. Kat says, she saw a guy in a park that said, please help a drinker get drunker. Nice. Nice. Vic saw a guy in, where's that? Chicago. Says, Obama ain't the only one who wants change. Nice. See, because it's change. And then it's, yeah. All right. Time traveler help. Need dollars for a flux capacitor. Nice. Yeah. And one of my favourites, and I saw this actually, was it London? I think it was London. My London, not your London. I shouldn't take ownership of any city, really, particularly now I live here. Not really affiliated with anywhere. Let's say the UK London as opposed to the Ontario one. And, I saw a guy. Well, I say I saw a guy. I saw a hat, a gloves, a pair of shades, and it just said, help, I'm invisible. It's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. I don't know when he came to collect the money, but he was probably around the back watching his Apple iPad from the latest movie, you know. This all came up because I was in a... I was about to get a slice of pizza, and a guy came up to me and he said... can you get me a slice of pizza? I said, sure. I'm going to get my 12-inch big pepperoni. I'll be out in 5 minutes. He said, I haven't really got time. Can you just get me one from the counter? Actually said it. Couldn't believe it. And it got the whole conversation rolling about, what do you do with beggars? What do you do? Because I think, really, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt, don't you? Well, this is what Patricia said. I was with a friend at work yesterday grabbing a tea. I offered my friend a coffee, and the man behind us spoke by saying how nice it was. The weather, I presume. When I turned to look at who had spoken, those words were of a tired, scraggly old man. It was the first cold day of the year yesterday, wasn't it? At least I thought. So I considered many things and offered him a coffee. He accepted graciously, and the three of us started talking. It turns out that he'd been homeless for several years. He said that he was heading to Montreal for the winter. God, why would you do that? It's freezing there. I asked if he needed anything else. He thanked me and said no. Our drinks arrived and he left with just a few more words. After thanking me for being one of the kindest people he'd ever met, he parted with these words. Until a few years ago, I had spent most of my adult life working for the railroad company. He'd always worked hard, become a shop steward and with a union, and then subsequently was laid off. He ended up losing everything and eventually became homeless. It wasn't his fault. He was down on his luck and had a hard time. He was very gracious and he said it's the nicest time he'd had for weeks. It's certainly the best cup of coffee I'd ever bought anyone. He wanted nothing but some company and a coffee. God bless. Or insert religion here if you are religious. I mean, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Whilst there are a-holes, I believe is the correct term, that manipulate and push and lie for money, there are also people that are incredibly down on their luck and, as previously mentioned, end up self-medicating to try and get through another day. And it's scum, like the man you're about to hear from, that really annoy me. And thankfully, this is certainly a minority. Gary Thompson. This is a guy from Lexington in the United States of America, where it's the land of the free and everyone is treated equally in a fantastically functional meritocracy. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the... I was just reading the idea of America. Unfortunately, it didn't work out quite like that. And as we can tell from the government, or lack thereof, of recent days. Anyway, without me going on a rant about the somewhat dishevelled gap between rich and poor here in North America, and particularly in the United States, there are a-holes like this man who acted to be wheelchair-bound with a mental disability.
Why isn't that camera for?
Chances are you've seen him.
Try to dit. To the restaurant.
Sympathized with his wheelchair, his drawn hands, his story ripped at your heart.
Damn, give me money and to get some eat.
And if so, you're not alone.
I was a millionaire one time, Sue Honda of America, $2.4 million. All that money gone now.
That actually is the truth. We did some research, and sure enough, Thompson's mother was the plaintiff in a 1993 lawsuit against Honda for a motorcycle accident. The wreck left him with limited mobility, but it certainly didn't make him mentally handicapped, and we knew better.
You were just talking to McFine a second ago.
When?
Lexington police say he's taken his act on tour of the city to places like the Lansdowne Shops, Hamburg, and the Zandale Corridor of Nicholasville Road. We busted this bogus beggar right outside the police department just minutes after a press conference about
it. I'm the best in Lex.
I appreciate you guys busting me.
We appreciate this.
Yeah, I'm really good at it, really good. I clear about $100,000 a year doing this. Yeah, about 60 to 100.
The 30-year-old said he's from Austin, Texas, and has done the same thing there. He also says he's got a degree in speech-language pathology. He's combined that training with his wheelchair and found that panhandling pays.
Ready to move to another city and start this?
No, I'm not. I'm just beginning.
And just like that...
My bead boy, I'm just playing. I gotta go, y'all. I gotta make some money.
He was back at it again. Covering the news in Lexington, Kristen Flum, LEX 18 News.
So there's a guy in Kentucky who said there that he makes $60,000 to $100,000 a year by pretending that he's mentally disabled. And what do you do with him? Because technically, he's not breaking the law. Morally, it's not even worth discussing. I think there's no question there. So I have a solution. It's my hypothetical island. I know that the Brits tried with Australia and... sort of turned out a bit different as planned. I want a small island where we send people like this and they just have to spend the rest of their life there. And we can call it Arsehole Island. I think somewhere wind-battered and cold would be ideal. And we just put them there and give them like a really annoyingly blunt tool that achieves nothing. I don't know, a chocolate wrench. That's all they get. Dump them naked on a wind-battered island. Somewhere, perhaps Northern Canada. No, let's not get them anywhere near here. Somewhere, I don't know. Oh, there's that place, Nome, I think it is, between Alaska and Russia. A couple of islands there. Perfect. Pop him on there. Chocolate wrench. Load of other arseholes. Let him get on with it. All right? Honestly, do I have to fix everything? Back in a minute.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I always forget to do this, and let's do it now while I remember. If you want to hear the podcast of this show, but with no adverts, but please do buy the products that News Talk 1010 promote, because it kind of pays my wages, all $3. If you want to listen to the podcast, I sort of lost the flow there. If you want to listen to the podcast of this show, then why not go to vinniewhite.co.uk? Yes, Vinnie White. Google him. He'll come up and you can subscribe and take Vinnie on the go. Be in the know with Vinnie on the go. Good. And the other thing is, do you need canvas prints? Then you need someone that operates a business that prints on canvas. Wouldn't that be great, Toronto? Well, luck is on your side, buttercup, because now there's MrPhotoCanvas.com. MrPhotoCanvas.com creates canvases from your artwork or photographs. Please use MrPhotoCanvas.com. All right. It's tiring, that, isn't it? I wouldn't like to actually do that professionally, adverts. The only one I ever did was when I was living in Ottawa and they asked me to do the voiceover for the Scottish and Irish store. I was like, I'll do it. Yeah. There is one problem. Oh, two, actually. There you go. Scottish and Irish store. They gave me free Marmite. Honestly true. Marmite, by the way, if you haven't had it, is the spread that British people put on their toast. And most people say is a salty, disgusting, waxy type spread. But British people love it. It's as polarising as Maggie Thatcher. And it was discovered during the brewing process. All these facts and more available on the podcast as well. VinnieWhite.co.uk. Right, that's enough of that. Americans, hello. Have you got your country back in order? Is everything working? Because did you notice there for a bit that you're stupid, backward, idiotic, childish idiots at the top had a hissy fit and messed up your entire country and the global economy for a little while? Yeah, responsible, isn't it? Well, yet another reason the world should be run by women. And I genuinely mean that. It would be brilliant, wouldn't it? All women running the world all the time. It would be very little investment. They'd just have to make all the parking spaces bigger in government complexes. That's all I'm saying. I've got to give them a dig. I just brought them up. I've got to bring them down. It's like a pair of pants. All right, so what was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, Americans. The Americans, you know, they're a bit, woo, yeah, high five, etc. Very much more so than the Brits. And I would argue much more so than the Canadians, who have a far more refined intellectual approach to life. Well, I think so. But I'm biased. I moved here. And every now and then you just see an American and you think, oh, what are you doing? Shut up. Do you ever do that? Just me? Borderline racism. Criminal charges are being considered against a US scout leader who toppled an ancient rock formation in Utah, sparking an international outcry. Glenn Taylor was filmed by a colleague pushing the 170 million year old rock in Goblin Valley State Park and celebrating afterwards.
Wiggle it just a little bit.
This is him pushing a rock. There it goes.
Yeah! We have now modified Goblin Valley.
Yeah.
A new Goblin Valley exists with this boulder down here at the bottom.
Woo!
Well done. A grown man there who's responsible for a scout troop who managed to push over a 170-million-year-old boulder. Oh, I'll tell you why he did that. Because he put his back into it and he's fat. So a grown fat man there who managed to push the boulder over. Well done there. And isn't that a great influence and a great example to be spreading to scouts all over the world? And for this week, I would like to invite you to go to a small island somewhere between Russia and Alaska. Terribly cold. There's already one man that pretended to be a beggar living there, and I invite you to spend the rest of your life there with a chocolate wrench. Please, please do leave immediately. Hello there. How are you this week?
I'm well. How are you?
Yes. You still sound quite husky.
Well, yeah, yeah. The rest of the illness is gone, but I still am putting the rock in News Talk with my throaty voice. So, which is the part I don't mind, actually.
I love that North Americans can make rock rhyme with talk.
Yeah, it's the genius of this country and the beauty of capitalism of you know, that's why the pilgrims came across the ocean to defeat Hitler. I'm not a big history buff, to tell you the truth, but
it sounded a bit like Glenn Beck for a minute there. He's always about two degrees away from some Nazi regime thing that he's uncovered. Good evening. It's nice to see you. It's a pleasure to have you here and not smelling of throat pastels. What's coming up on your show?
Well, I got a couple guests. I got Alex Mazur, who's with a group called Better Budget TO, trying to make sense of the city's crazy budget process. And then I have Chris Turner, who's the author of a book called The War on Science, about the Harper government's approach to science.
I see.
Yeah.
I find an intellectual evening ahead of stimulation
yes,
and thought.
That's right. That's perfect for late on a Sunday night. You know, if people are a few drinks in at home, it's going to make it all the more fun.
Perfect. I will be back next week. Will I? Yes, I will. Yeah, I'm back next week. Then I have a week off. But next week I'll be here with bells on baby cakes. Been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Rarely a chore. See you later.
From the National Newsroom of the Canadian Press, I'm Bill Draper.